have all the CVs for everyone that's speaking today. I did have a chance to meet with her very recently in Connecticut, and so I have a bit of an idea of what she does. So I know this will be very appropriate for her.
Okay, my name is Sandra Moran. I'm from the city of Stamford. I've worked for the city of Stamford since 2004, but I've been in this the TB coordinator since February of 2007. So I'm just going to start my presentation. Good morning. I'd like to acknowledge in the audience Dr. Johnny A. Lee, Director of Health and Social Services for the city of Stamford, Connecticut, and Olga Brown Vanderpool, the Director of Public Health Nursing and Dental Hygienist, as well as my co-workers in the audience and my husband. I'm the Tuberculosis Coordinator for the City of Stamford, and my presentation is entitled Eliminating Borders in Tuberculosis Surveillance. Okay. You want me? Okay. Presentation disclosure. Sandra Morano, TB Program Coordinator, City of Stamford, Connecticut. No relationships to disclose. The City of Stamford is located in Connecticut in Lower Fairfield County on Long Island Sound, just 25 miles outside of New York City. We have a population of 121,000. In 2007, we had 235 new latent TB cases and 13 new active TB cases. This represents a 40% increase in latent cases from 2006 and a 71% increase in active cases from 2006. This increase in TB activity was related to a cluster of active tuberculosis cases in Stamford, which caused a TB surveillance team to work together to increase productivity. This interdisciplinary team analyzed and gathered information during the contact investigations, which started in March of 2007 and ended approximately February 2008. The team included the Director of Health, the Director of Nursing Services, TB Nurse Coordinator, along with Public Health Nursing, the Center for Disease Control, or the CDC, Northeast Regional Consultant, the Connecticut Department of Health TB Control Program Nurse Consultant, TB Epidemiologist, TB Medical Advisor, the State TB Laboratory. Also local physicians, laboratories, hospital staff, which includes pulmonologists, infectious disease physicians, and nurses were on the team. The objectives of this interdisciplinary team was to collect information surrounding the active TB cases with epidemiologic links. With each of the active TB cases, we did contact investigations. We recognized the need for early identification and treatment of active and latent TB cases to prevent further transmission in the city of Stamford and surrounding towns and states. The interdisciplinary team coordinated more people with different perspectives to view the information, and thus we were able to piece together the puzzle of this cluster. What were the methods used by our team? Since we were not all in the same town, we used phone calls, conference calls, and emails. Sputums were collected by me as well as the local hospitals. Genotyping information was performed and results were given to me by the state. The state called Stamford Hospital and reviewed hospital medical records. As direct observation therapy, or DOT, was done, I would ask patients pertinent questions and actively listen to their answers. Other local and state health departments were asked to help with the contact investigations by locating people in their communities and planting tuberculin skin test, or TSTs. The TB cases in Stamford increased, and we convened the first TB conference between federal, state, local, and hospital partners. We did case reviews, gave out pertinent information, and got the team together to discuss TB in Stamford. After the meeting, I sent out a one-page TB newsletter, entitled The TB Connector, to summarize the conference. Here are the actual cases that were in our cluster. Patient 1 was a 40 to 49-year-old U.S.-born person. Patient 1 had a bronchoscopy in March 2006, but they were smear negative and culture negative. Patient 1 was tuberculin skin test, TST, positive in January of 2007, and the bronchoscopy in January of 2007 was smear negative, but culture positive. when investigating patient one, who was started on meds at home with their spouse and son, both family members were TST negative. Therefore, the contact investigation was not expanded. Patient one was a member of a social club, but stated they did not spend much time there. Genotyping was performed on the TB isolate of patient one. Patient two was between 50 to 59 years old, U.S. born as well. In June 2007, patient two was TST positive. Patient two's sputum was smear negative and culture negative, but patient two's bronchoscopy, which is a more invasive procedure, was smear negative but culture positive. Patient two was also treated at home, as patient two was out of the hospital by the time the bronchoscopy culture came back positive. On the first visit to patient two's house to start DOT and the contact investigation was the day I learned patient one and patient two were in the same social club. On the previous slide, it said genotype between patient one and patient two, but I didn't know that the first day I went in. Patient two was started by listing the names of the quote-unquote management team at the social club, and lo and behold, patient one was on the management team. Many names were provided the first day of contact investigation when the patient was concerned about how could they possibly have contracted active tuberculosis. However, I did not ask for the addresses the first day and was unable to secure them from patient two due to the secretive nature of the social club. Thankfully, other social club members provided information on their addresses. Patient three was a 60 to 69-year-old person who is U.S. born also. Patient 3 was previously positive TST as a child. Patient 3's mom had active tuberculosis when patient 3 was 5 years old. In August of 2007, patient 3 had a bronchoscopy and was smear negative but culture positive. Patient 3 genotype matched to patient 1 and 2. I did not know this genotype information until afterwards, probably like a month. In patient 3's case, follow-up was needed to track down patient 3. They were in the community. The address given was very close to the social club. I suggested to my fellow colleague who accompanied me to the visit, "Do you think patient 3 goes to the social club?" Sure enough, the relative stated that patient 3 was a frequent patron of the social club, but not a member. Patient 3 was not at the residence but working in a private health care job and could not leave to be hospitalized until patient 3 was relieved by another worker. The day patient 3 was in the emergency room, patient 3 gave me valuable information that patient 3 had a friend who had died in February 2007. They didn't know why patient 4 died. As I continued my relationship with patient 3 while doing direct observation therapy, more details were gained. Patient 4 was coughing up blood and had a weight loss of 50 pounds in a year. This might be an EpiLink. After requesting for the chest x-ray report on patient 4 and noted it was abnormal, I notified the State Department of Health and suggested, could patient 4 have had TB? They did a medical records review, and the records revealed lung tissue, smear positive, granuloma, some with necrosis. As I did DOT with patient 3, I saw photographs of patient 4. I was able to start the contact investigation by getting names off the funeral program of patient 4. I think I didn't press the button, but anyway, okay. As you can see through this chart, there were a total of 135 contacts identified. 81 contacts were TST tested. 16 of the contacts were positive TST, latent TB cases. The diagram on the right shows contacts that each patient identified. Within the contact investigations, there were 9 common contacts between patient 1 and 2. 3 common contacts between patient 1 and 3, there were 2 common contacts between patient 2 and 3, and there were 2 common contacts between patient 3 and 4. The patient with the most positive TST were 9 from patient 4. The state believes patient 4 was the source case due to they were the only case smear positive AFB and they had the most positive TST contacts. As you can see in this map of Stanford, these cases were located in close proximity to each other and they surrounded the social club. I don't know if this mouse is going to work. This is the social club. Oops. This is the social club, and these are the cases around it. The map on the left is all of Stanford. The map on the right is an inset of Stanford. This timeline for index and source patients has a 9-month period from March to November of 2007, from the first outbreak to the confirmation of the last person in the cluster. In conclusion, there are definite benefits of forming an interdisciplinary team, including state, local, and federal health-related agencies, as well as the local hospital clinicians. Through interstate health department referrals, we were able to identify more latent TB cases who were treated. Due to this multi-agency team and the excellent rapport between us, we were able to prevent future active TB outbreaks. Contact investigation should be throughout the whole direct observation therapy treatment. A TB nurse must constantly be attentive to clues the patient might give us as to where did this patient have contact to get active tuberculosis cases. Another conclusion to draw would be to be aware of your community and understand that not every person, even with medical insurance, seeks out a doctor, even when they are very sick. Any suspicious evidence you hear when you are actively listening to a patient, pursue it and follow up on it, no matter how bizarre it might seem. Collaborate with coworkers and your TB team, and as it combines more minds looking over the evidence to draw important conclusions. I'd like to also acknowledge the State of Connecticut Tuberculosis Control Program, Maureen Williams, nurse consultant, Danielle Orcutt, state TB epidemiologist, Dr. Lynn Sosa, TB medical consultant, Dr. Mark Lobato, Center for Disease Control, Northeast Regional Consultant, and for technical assistance with this PowerPoint presentation, Terry Rybatsky. Thank you for allowing me to share this presentation with you.
We might want to have all the presentations and then have a discussion at the end. But there are several things in this very interesting presentation. One is many of us are faced with genotyping. Like, what does it mean? Time to review it. Are they matching? Does it mean something? Does it not? And the other thing is the smear negative case. The smear negative, culture positive, especially in a place like San Diego, we have over 300 cases a year. A lot of them are smear positive. So trying to prioritize, and in fact, it was a smear positive case, but the smear negatives led you to that. So all those things occur to me as you're presenting them.
Thank you.